Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2017. I'm Steve McIntosh. Our guest is former Sedgwick County Sheriff Mike Hill. And today we're discussing the Holiday Inn sniper attack in downtown Wichita 41 years ago. Welcome to Issues 2017, Your Honor. What about you? Can I call you Mike?
Please do.
I always like to call you Sheriff, and mostly Sir.
Well, you've called me worse than that.
I guess so. It was August 11th, 1976. A young man named Michael Soles went to a top floor at Wichita's Holiday Inn and began firing a rifle, killing 3 people, wounding 8 more. I was there as a young reporter for radio station KEYN, and Mike, you were there as a member of law enforcement with a big challenge that day, stop the shooter. And I've been looking at some of the recent publications about this, and they're calling this the 26th floor of the Holiday Inn. They don't have 26 floors down there, do they? What was he on, 23rd or 24th, wasn't he? Do you recall?
It was the top floor.
The top, okay.
It was the southeast corner.
Yep.
And if you drive by there today, you look up, you can still see the patios there that face south.
And that today it's not a Holiday Inn. Of course, it's some sort of a retirement apartment or something like that.
No, it's actually apartments.
Apartments.
There's a lot of young professionals living in there, and it's not a retirement community. It's
Active people.
Yes.
Well, let's walk through the events with us for that fateful afternoon. You were at that time with the police department, I believe. Tell me about that. Were you a homicide? What were you doing that?
Yeah. No, at that particular time, I was a uniformed lieutenant on second watch, and it was a shift change. At that time, everybody changed down at City Hall, Central Main. The police garage was in the west end of the what's now the parking garage. And it was 5 minutes till 3 o'clock that afternoon, and a call came out through the dispatcher that we had a shooter on the roof of the Holiday Inn, and asked for a supervisor. I was the administrative lieutenant. I told him I'd be en route. And we were able to ascertain that the individual was on the southeast corner. So we came in from the northwest, drove up the ramp. It was a Holiday Inn, double doors. And Sergeant Charlie Franklin was standing there waiting for us, and I and 3 others, headed for the roof. And when we got up there, the door leading to the roof was still locked, and we had an individual with keys, and then we heard that he was on the southeast corner of the building on a balcony. The employee took us over there. He had a pass key, but the door to that particular room was chained, so we didn't want to go in that way. And he let us into the adjoining room, and looking through the sliding glass doors, we could actually see the silhouette of Soles as he was firing his rifle, and you could actually see the smoke coming out of the end of the gun.
Now, who was with you?
Three of us went in that room. It was myself, Officer Hank Salmons, and Richard Clare. The three of us went in, and you could see, like I say, you could see what was seen, and I had an assault rifle, plus they brought their shotguns up. I grabbed one of the shotguns from one of them, and Clare got down to prone position where he could look under the partition. And I fired one round through the glass, through that pasteboard partition, and he went down. I figured it was over. In fact, I took a breath and relaxed a little bit. And all of a sudden, Claire, he said, he's pointing his weapon our direction. So I fired two more rounds, relaxed, thinking it was over. And at that time, Salmons rolled over the bed, threw me some more shotgun shells, and he had a shotgun. And we emptied both our shotguns at him, and it was over.
Now, you both were fired several shots then, but I didn't realize that you had fired that many times.
We fired probably eight rounds, nine rounds.
Why? What do you think happened? Did the partition slow the shot down or something?
Well, he had double-aught buck all the way through his body.
Okay.
And it just wasn't his, it just wasn't his time to go, to be quite frank with you. And he, at that time, we could hear him say, I give up. And so we told him to crawl to the door and unlatch the door. That time, John Coonrod, who was a lieutenant, was in the hall. Steve Traynor, who was a police officer, was in the hall. And they actually blew the chain off with another round of shotgun. Shotguns are wonderful for that type of work. And we opened the door, and he was in the prone position, laying on his stomach. We cuffed him and took him into custody. From the time the call came out until we had the cuffs on him, it was 11 minutes.
Back up just a little bit. There you go. But, yeah, that was my next question. How long was he actually firing up there? 11 minutes from the first call till you guys got him then, huh?
It was 11 minutes from the time we received the
call. You received it. He had been firing before that.
Yes.
Probably.
And during that 11, 15 minute barrage, three people lost their lives, and I believe it was eight, maybe nine, that were wounded.
How was he armed? What was the weapon that he was using there? Did he have more than one?
He had two. He had a sighted long gun, and he had a just a plain old open sight. Now, I can't tell you to this day what the caliber of the weapon was.
You know, and
that's many years ago.
That time of the day, today in downtown Wichita, there's not a lot of foot traffic down there. But that time of the day, on that day, was there a lot of traffic down there? People milling around, or?
Well, there were people going about their daily business.
Yeah.
There were people going to Sanctuary too. A couple of victims were going to Sanctuary too. Two sisters, I believe, purchase some tickets for a concert at Sanctuary too, and one of them was wounded. Someone that you and I knew well, Joe Goulard. He used to work for the Wichita Eagle, and then he was a freelance photographer. And Joe was coming around that circular drive east of Sanctuary 2.
Right.
And he took one round, and was expired on the scene.
Yeah.
And we had two others expired.
And when you got there, he was, the car was just sitting there with the doors open where he had been hit through the windshield.
Yes.
Joe was a really interesting character, Always had a cigar in his mouth, right? A little stub.
They broke the mold when they made Joe Goulart.
He shot film for Channel 3, I think, too. And all of us got to run into him one time or another. Interesting guy.
We always ran into him on the scene.
On the police beat, he was everywhere. Huh? The other two, one gentleman was shot down below on top of a roof.
He worked for Hensley was his name.
Yeah.
And he worked for a glass glazing company. They were replacing glass there at the Kiva Mall.
Now, when Souls went down, did he say anything besides "I give up"?
No, that's all he said. And we cuffed him, and we had emergency personnel coming up. He was loaded on the gurney and taken to St. Francis.
What did you do then, Mike? After that, Mike, did you go over to the hospital? Did you go down? What was your next step?
The three of us.
You just want to get out there and go home.
No, not really. We had work to do.
A lot to work, yeah.
The three of us that went up, and then some of the guys that came up later, they all gathered us together in a room. And to decompose or decompress a little bit. And then we went down to the investigation section. Just like back then, and detectives were assigned to interview us, just like anyone else involved in a situation.
The decompression in a situation like that, obviously the adrenaline's running through your veins in quarts and gallons. I mean, you've got to be high as a kite. Not because it's a good excitement, but it's an excitement that happens. I mean, it's nothing you want to do every day.
A lot of people handle things differently than someone else. I personally, in my 38 years in law enforcement, I'm one of those unique individuals. And even to this day, I can look at things straight on, black on white. Don't get emotionally involved. Do what you got to do and go on. People ask me a day or two after that, well, what'd you do that evening when you went home? I said, I probably got home midnight, 1 o'clock. I said, well, I went to bed and went to sleep. They couldn't believe it. But that's just the way I handle it.
A lot of people wouldn't handle it that way, I don't think.
I can't call it.
Yeah, you're not in their skin, so you can't tell us.
The era that you and I were raised in is a lot different than what the young folks are raised in today.
Now, just as an insert here, after you went through the police department and gained promotions and whatnot, and what did you wind up at Wichita PD? What was your final rank there?
I was the commander of the Special Investigations Bureau on the fifth floor, which handled all crimes, aggravated crimes against individuals, robberies, rapes, homicides, aggravated assaults. And then we also did auto thefts, checks, sex crimes, and all.
You do everything there.
All civil lawsuits brought against the city of Wichita, criminal lawsuits brought against the city of Wichita. We looked at those.
You also, of course, some of the more prominent investigations at the time, one of them was, you probably started on a BTK then. Were you not involved in that?
Yes. The Oteros.
Buying, torture, and kill.
And Nancy Fox, the lady on South Hyde Raleigh. While I was sheriff, we had a couple of victims of his out in the county. So what's interesting, when he was finally brought to justice, the lab investigators back then, some of the evidence that they collected and preserved were instrumental in the prosecution of Rader.
They hung on to that.
Yes.
Made sure that nothing happened to it. All right, so then you spent, how many terms were you elected sheriff of Seneca?
Four.
Four? How was that different from being on the police department? Obviously, you got to run for office, right?
Well, yes. You don't have a supervisor when you're the sheriff. You do not answer to anybody in the government when you're the sheriff.
Not even county commissioners?
No. You do not work for the county commissioners. You work for the community. The only hammer the county commissioners have on another elected and the sheriff is during the budget time. Yeah. From then on, you operate independently. You work with them, but you don't work for them.
Obviously, you liked it.
It was a good job. 16 years. It was time for new blood.
And then what did you do after that, Mike?
You know, I didn't do anything for... yes, I did. Because I left there in January of 01, and I went to work for Midwest Corporate Aviation as the chief operating officer out in Jabara. And everything was going great guns until 9/11. And our black line, profit line, turned red immediately. Everybody talks about the commercial air traffic and the devastation. It was devastating also to private aviation.
Yeah.
Even the ambulance business, the charter, they shut us all down.
Wow.
And so I was talking to Marvin Autry, who was the owner of the company. I said, something's got to happen. And he said, what are you suggesting? I said, well, we got too many chiefs, not enough. We got to keep our Indians around. Let me restructure. And I restructured and presented it. And during that restructure, my position, I was eliminated.
So you eliminated yourself.
I didn't do anything then for a while. And then you're my dear friend. I've known him since kindergarten. And he's still a friend today. Bob Knight decided to run for governor. So I worked on his campaign, and we weren't successful. We got defeated in the primary. So I went back to Every Day as a Saturday Club, and then I got a call from Via Christi. They wanted me to come and chat with them. That's when the two different congregation sisters joined in as one, and it became Via Christi, not St. Joe, St. Francis.
Yeah.
And they offered me a position as corporate security director, and I did that for 8 years. And when I hit 70, I said, well,
that's enough.
It's enough.
And you're listening to Issues 2017 on the Intercom radio stations. Our guest, former Sedgwick County Sheriff Mike Hill. We've been discussing mostly the Holiday Inn sniper attack in downtown Wichita 41 years ago. That's on August 11th of 1976. You know, we know law enforcement is trained to face life and death situations, Mike. It seems that in that day in 1976, you guys didn't hesitate. There wasn't a lot of time to plan, was there?
Well, there was no such thing as SWAT teams and stuff that the men and women have to face today. When you got a call, you went and you handled it right then.
What did you learn anything from the experience?
No, I really don't know.
Some people say, well, we should have done this differently, should have done that differently, but it doesn't sound like there was a lot of alternative there.
I'm not bragging, but 11 minutes was a pretty good operation.
Ever discuss that day with any of the other men who were there? You ever talk about it at all?
It don't come up all that often. It's 3 or 4 years. I get my hair cut down to Kiva Mall every other Thursday. And I always noticed an individual there. He got his hair cut after I got mine. And about 3 years ago, he walked up to me and he said, Sheriff, I want to shake your hand. And of course, I thought, well, I wonder what. He was one of the victims. And if you reflect back, there's a picture of him with his head bandaged, sitting on the curb, and Officer Ken Adamson is assisting him, and that's who it was.
Wow.
And this was 38, 39 years later, and he said, I just want to say thank you.
Wow, that's terrific. And, you know, from my own personal experience, all I did was come down there, and the guy was still firing when I got there, but when you guys got the all clear, and that street below the... Holiday Inn was just filled with people. Everybody in the world came out of the buildings.
It was
In the aftermath. He wasn't still
sure. Well, not even in the aftermath. One thing we noticed, of course, people are curious.
Yeah.
You look out in the Garvey building, there were people standing in the office windows looking out.
Yeah. I'd heard that.
There were lots of them.
I think I would have tried to duck. Now, talk a little bit about this Michael Soles. Who was this kid? Where did he come from?
Michael Soles came from Sand Springs, Oklahoma, just west of Tulsa. It's a suburb of Tulsa. And he arrived in Wichita. He was needless to say, a strange individual. He was a loner. He had broke up with his girlfriend. That's what he used for an excuse. I can't accept that. And he loaded up a lunch pail full of ammunition, walked into the lobby of a Holiday Inn with two weapons. Very obvious there were weapons, but back then people didn't think about it. Got on the elevator and went up to the floor.
Wow. Today's world, the alarms would be going off if they saw somebody like that. Now, he's been denied parole several times over the years. When that comes up from time to time and they have a parole hearing, do you go to those, Mike?
You know, I never had went to one. They just had one a couple months back. It was down in Derby, Court's Police Department. And I thought, you know, I'll go down there. And nothing was planned. As I pulled in the drive, I saw Judge Keith Sanborn. He was there. He was walking in. And when I walked...
Keith Sanborn, you're talking about the former district attorney?
Yes, Judge Sanborn.
Okay.
He was a district court judge when that was
right,
happening.
Right.
And I walked in, and our current district attorney, Mark Bennett, was there. And we all took a number, and Judge was up on the front row. And I sat in by Mark, and he says, what do you think we all go up there together? I said, well, why don't you go talk to Judge? And if Judge agrees, we do. So they called our number, and the three of us went up. Judge was on my left. District attorney was on my right. And I opened up the testimony explaining how we were notified, how it went down, what we did. And then after I got through, Judge took over and talked about the court proceedings and the trial. After Judge was finished, Mark Bennett, DA Mark Bennett, he commented to the board that if we had had the laws back then that we have today, there would not be a parole hearing. We didn't have, needless to say, we didn't have the death penalty. And back then, we didn't have the hard 50 without any parole. And that was all explained. And usually it's every 3 years. The parole board took our testimony and testimony of a couple family members, and they made the right decision. It's not 3 years before he has another parole hearing. It's 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
Which I think is the appropriate decision.
You think he'll ever get out, Mike?
Well, he's 60-some years old now.
Oh, is he that old? Yeah.
You know, it's been, 41 years, and he was 20. That's 61 or 62. He'll be 71 or 70. He'll be your age next time.
careful there.
But no, I don't think he'll ever get out. And he shouldn't get out. He should never breathe one breath of fresh air.
Now, you look back on a career that spanned, I don't know how many years in law enforcement, but a long
38.
And you're a West Side guy. You look back over that career, and I know you did very, very well in the police department, in the Sedgwick County Sheriff. Law enforcement, they're looking at now sometimes hard to recruit people. What do you think about that? Or what would you recommend to a young person who might be considering a law enforcement career?
I cannot tell them not to do it if that's what they want to do. It's a good career. It's a self-satisfying career. I don't care what profession it is. There's a couple people in all professions that's a bad apple. It happens in public safety. It happens in broadcasting. It happens everywhere. But it's a good, satisfying career. They have challenges that we didn't even imagine back then. When Richard Lemunyan and I, we were recruit members. We were in the same recruit class. We had 9 weeks of training. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we came back out and rode with a seasoned officer until 11. After 9 weeks, we were graduated, and now it's 22 weeks and 9 weeks field deputy training.
A lot of more training today, Mike.
Yeah, it really
is. Hey, listen, we're out of time. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this morning. I appreciate it. Our guest, former Sedgwick County Sheriff Mike Hill, and this morning on The Issue Show, we've been discussing the Holiday Inn sniper attack in downtown Wichita approximately 41 years ago and on August 11th. That's all for this edition of Issues 2017. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.